Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've been anticipating the Benghazi hearings before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee for quite a while. They happened over a span of several hours on Wednesday. Different aspects of that are the good, bad, and crazy martinis. We start with the good, and that's the information, as troubling as it was, that was some of it was confirmed, which we already knew, and some details came out that we hadn't known quite in that specificity before. So we're going to do a little bit of a montage here in both of the first and second martinis. On the good side here, you've got Greg Hicks, deputy chief of mission in Libya at the time of the Benghazi attacks. First under questioning from Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, then Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, then Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Was there any awareness that it was the events occurred because of a YouTube video?
The YouTube video was a non-event in Libya.
So fast forward, Mr. Hicks, to the Sunday talk shows and Ambassador Susan Rice. She blamed this attack on a video. In fact, she did it five different times. What was your reaction to that?
I was stunned. My jaw dropped. And I was embarrassed.
Hicks then questioned the administration about those talking points. And then he got pushback from the State Department, giving him the impression that he shouldn't question that anymore. And then it got even worse.
And tell me about those conversations, what those lawyers instructed you to do on Mr. Chapet's visit to Libya.
I was instructed not to allow the RSO, the acting deputy chief of mission, and myself to be personally interviewed by Congressman Chaffetz.
So the people at state told you don't talk to the guy who's coming to investigate?
Yes, sir.
So, Jim, in addition to that, we found out there were multiple stand-down orders. You do a great job of chronicling the major points today in the jolt. Obviously, 6 hours of testimony, a lot to cram into one martini here. But basically, like you said earlier in the week, most of our gut reactions were proven right.
The standard defense of this is that, oh, this is all old news. We've investigated. No, we haven't investigated this because we keep learning new things. We keep learning new things about each aspect of it, meaning that we knew that the security situation in Benghazi was deteriorating. The folks on the ground were demanding more security. I don't think I'd ever heard anyone say that they were asking, the diplomats asked if they could be trained to use firearms before. And if you know anything about the diplomatic community, they know their job. Their job is to handle diplomacy. Their job is not to pick up guns and start fighting when, you know, in circumstances. So that gives a sense of the atmosphere of desperation and just how astonishingly out of the loop the entire decision-making process in Foggy Bottom seems. Then we learned about two other aspects about that night. One being, as they said, for day one, everyone on the ground was reacting as if this was a terror attack. There was no mention of it. And I don't think we ever heard, it was explicit. The YouTube video was a non-event in Libya. I heard that and I figured that would be the giant, you know, soundbite or the poll quote to come out of that. Because now we're left with that. It's a very similar question. Where did this come from? Allegedly, it's from the CIA, and everything in that process is very shrouded in secrecy and classified and stuff. But basically, no one in Libya was saying this was the result of a YouTube video, which raises the question of why the administration was saying that was the case. I think one of the things that really jumped out of me, it came from a question from Jason Chaffetz, basically pointing out that at no point did we ask the Libyans to enter their airspace. And one of the points I was trying to make on Twitter this morning was that the anger is not that the rescue, that there was no successful rescue. Americans understand the difficulty of the circumstances there. What baffling and is mind-boggling about this is it appears there is no effort to rescue them, that there was nothing in the works or in the process when sadly these four Americans were slain. And this is over an attack that, you know, came and went in waves over 7 hours. So every time you hear, oh, they couldn't have gotten there in time to make a difference, how do you know that the attack is going to go on for only 7 hours instead of 8 hours or 9 hours or some longer period of time? As if they somehow knew when people were going to die and all that stuff. The next thing, which I think probably says something about our defense cuts, Greg, don't you find it mind-boggling that like a year after the U.S. is helping with airstrikes in Libya to depose the Gaddafi regime, I'm looking at a map in my office right now. I know that there's an air base on the island of Crete in Greece. I know that there's a NATO air base in Izmir, and I know that there are two air bases in Italy, that the arsenal democracy could not get any plane to that location within 7 hours. Doesn't that just seem mind-boggling?
Yeah, it's completely inexplicable, which I think Chaffetz did a good job of explaining during yesterday's hearing.
And what's more, with the lack of request for permission, is that at no point did anyone start putting things in process to get this going. It's as if from the very beginning, sending in someone to rescue these folks or help them was just never on the table, which is baffling. And then the two other aspects that just really jump out are, I didn't know that Hicks had spoken to Hillary Clinton at 2 a.m. that night, that he was giving her an assessment of the situation. Really kind of raising the question of, again, he's not telling her that this is the result of a YouTube video. Why? Where is she coming to this conclusion? And then, of course, the pressure on him to not answer questions of Chaffetz and other congressional investigators is mind-boggling. As he said, no one, this has never happened to him before in his career, which really kind of, it's very, very tough to give the administration the benefit of the doubt on this. And you can even see some mainstream folks kind of shuddering in their chairs when they recognize this. It will not surprise you, Greg, that this morning the line from the administration is that Hicks' memory is not to be trusted. Clearly, the Secretary of State, who had a concussion and could not testify on this originally, should be trusted, and not the guy on the ground and his account of things going on in Libya. The reason this is our good martini is that, you know, all of our suspicions are looking correct. The evidence is aligning. I joked yesterday that the next witness to be testifying will be Occam's razor, because... You know, the simplest explanation is that there were bad decisions made on security beforehand, that the night of these events, there was some sort of paralysis or some sort of inability to get the various folks coordinated and get a serious effort going. And then afterwards, the explanation was, well, let's put this on the YouTube video and say there was nothing that could be done, and that we were going to discourage the folks on the ground from talking to the public and telling what happened. I think it's just a disgrace. And hopefully we're in the process of getting some accountability for that.
Now we got the Democratic version of and their approach to this hearing, and that's the bad martini. A couple of clips here as well, starting with the ranking Democrat, Elijah Cummings, followed by Peter Welch of Vermont talking to MSNBC. And then we'll get to a special kicker right after that.
As I listened to your testimony, I could not help but think about something that I said very recently, well, 2 years ago now, in a eulogy for a relative. I said that death is a part of life.
I think everybody did their best. This Christopher Stevens, by the way, is a diplomat who prided himself on talking to the people, on getting out and getting around. He knew that there were risks associated with doing the job.
Yeah, there are risks associated with it. He probably assumed, though, that the nation's military and the administration had his back if there was a terrorist attack in his midst. But the next one we're going to play here is Jackie Speier, Democrat of California, who for some reason decided that it was important to sweet talk Mr. Hicks and basically, without any authority on her own, promise him a sweet job here.
I think you deserve to have a post in a location that you desire. So I would like to ask you, where would you like to be posted?
So, Jim, you have on the one hand, stuff happens, and on the other side, oh, sir, we couldn't possibly criticize you. How about we give you a really nice job and maybe you'll stop this?
That was the most surreal moment of a very bizarre day whenever the Democrats were doing the questioning. Because, I mean, that, you know, whether or not the congresswoman intended it that way, I mean, maybe she's just challenged at grasping how her actions will be seen by others. But it sounds like a bribe. It sounds like, so what would you like? You know, what can we give you? It's just a very strange, inappropriate line of questionings. And I think from Elijah Cummings, the line that really just had me just fuming yesterday was, you know, early on in his opening statement, he says, "Today's hearing is not the full story," before a single question was asked or a single witness offered a single word. He's got his answer ready. He doesn't really want to hear what they said. I said on Daily Rundown earlier today, the story is not what the members of Congress said. The story is what the witnesses said. And I think that, you know, in a way, this is what the folks who don't want to get to the bottom of this want. They want this to turn into a partisan food fight. They're going to do everything they can to turn this into a partisan food fight. And my attitude would be, you know what, let's not glorify these folks by making the story about them. It is not about members of Congress and their assessment of it. The story is about what happened and why it happened. And you'd like to think that at least one Democrat on that committee might have had some real, genuine, serious curiosity about these things. And that was very tough to find yesterday.
On to the crazy martini now briefly. There was about 6 hours of testimony from about 11:30 to 5:30 Eastern time. Just one very quick break in the mid-afternoon. But the major media weren't there. CNN wasn't there. MSNBC wasn't there for most of the day. Fox did a good job in the first few hours of covering this hearing. But then around 3 o'clock Eastern time, None of them were covering it anymore. And why? Because a local crime story that had gone to trial had reached a verdict, so they spent 2 hours practically wall-to-wall coverage on this ridiculous Jody Arias case out in Arizona. It's a horrible story, and it's a significant story for those involved. Why it was ever a national story, I don't know. Why it blew Benghazi off the air is just ridiculous.
In today's Morning Jolt, I talk a bit about Pete Wenner had said that conservatives kind of drifted a little too libertarian for his tastes. He says conservatives kind of forgot the value of community, and we just seem to be ignoring the aspect of us being all part of a larger community, part of a larger whole, social solidarity and the common good. And so I write a bit about why conservatives are growing more skeptical of the common good. And it says, you know, you look out over your country, you just kind of see large chunks of your country you just don't understand anymore. Not a matter of race or culture, but it is kind of the sense of like somebody's values and thinking and worldview and their priorities just don't make any sense to you. And so, yeah, I understand. This is another local crime story, to use an infamous phrase from the media's explanation of why they were not so interested in the Kermit Gosnell trial.
Right.
But I mean, so here's Jody Arias, who apparently killed somebody, or, you know, of course, that's what the verdict was yesterday. Yeah, okay, she's not a famous person. This is not, you know, this is a bad murder, but I don't think it's particularly, you know, this isn't Jeffrey Dahmer eating people. I'm kind of left curious about why this is a really newsworthy murder trial as opposed to all the other murder trials going on in the country. And yet, this was, I understand, you know, headline news and court TV and a whole bunch of cable channels, this was the dominant story night after night after night. And so I joked yesterday, for a long time, when I saw Arias, I thought people were misspelling Adidas. I just didn't understand what the story was about. And so yesterday, all of a sudden, the world has to stop to get the verdict. Piers Morgan, in between stopping telling Americans how dare they disagree with him on these things, said something like, we'll have, you know, full coverage of the very dramatic developments today in Jody Arias trial. Greg, as I understand it, the very dramatic development is that a person who was on trial for murder was found guilty of murder. That happens. I don't quite understand why that's such an unbelievably shocking turn of events or something. If she had grown two heads or something, or if it had been some sort of, you know, she'd revealed herself to be a space alien, then yes, it deserves the round-the-clock coverage. So I am just baffled by the priority this got in the news media, and I am just kind of – I think it creates this sense of alienation from the culture as a whole, because you're looking at this court case and saying, who are these people who are getting so wrapped up in a, you know, particular crime that's not in their community? The only explanation come up with is a soap opera. That's always been an aspect of life. You wonder at what point does the, you know, sweet cupcake kind of news, the junk food news, start crowding out the vegetables news or the really important news. And it's kind of unnerving to see the media just go whole hog on another tawdry, you know, crime story.
Hopefully people did get a sense of what happened in the hearings on Wednesday, and as John Boehner said today, this investigation has a long way to go still, so there'll be more hearings to come and hopefully more answers on a lot of things that still don't make sense. Jim, have a great day, and actually, we'll talk to you on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Dan Foster and me on Friday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.